That we had a visit with them last night, and Sister Betty, and she was doing really good and talking, and we got to enjoy being with her, and we thank the Lord so much for that. And so we know His grace is abundant, and we know that God allows things sometime. And I thought a couple weeks ago when they told me that she was having such a good day, and then she's had some since then, and so it's been a real blessing. And you know, before that they were telling her she was leaving, she was going, and the thing that came to my mind was when Brother Branham's mother was leaving, how that God just poured out so many blessings upon him. God knew how, I don't want to say emotional, but knew how much he loved her, and how attached he was, and what an effect it was going to have on her. And so he softened the blow. And I was thinking that the other day, and what a tough time it's been, especially for Sister Rebecca, watching Sister Betty go down little by little. And I just thought that was God just giving some more time, and giving them some more words, and some more interaction, and we know He does that. He does it. And many times we see He's about to call somebody away, and then He holds it, and He gives His people a little more time. And I've seen that with Brother TB when he went, and they were telling him. I went over there one day when they first started saying he was going, and he told me, he looked at me, we were sitting across the room in his living room, and he said, They tell me I'm dying. And he laughed. And he said, I don't know what that feels like, but I don't feel like I'm laughing. I'm dying. He said, you know, he just laughed. And he went 2 more years. And I always felt like it was just so many people were praying for him, and so many people were holding on to him, that God just come on the scene and gave him some more time. And I've seen him doing that for Sister Betty. And so it's baffled the people, the hospital, hospice, and all of those. It's baffled them. They'll say she's going, and say she's not going, and she's going. And so we know that God will take her when it's time. And until then, we thank Him for every day. And so let us just bow our heads as we look to the Word. Heavenly Father, Lord, we so thankful, Lord, to come together this evening, Lord, and we ask once again that You would speak to our hearts. Lord, we know that as we say so many times, Lord, You're the author and finisher. And Lord, we know that. We know that all revelation comes from You. And Lord, that we don't see anything, we don't understand anything, we don't know anything, Lord, except You take the key and turn it, Lord, and let us look. And Father, we just ask that You would help us and guide us. And every day, Lord, let those things, let the light shine. Lord, give us a closer walk, Lord. We just thank You for being with those in need right now, being with Sister Pauletta, operation. And Lord, may You just give her a speedy recovery. Lord, we just pray that You'll continue to strengthen Sister Betty, the family. And Lord, all of our families and loved ones, we commit them to You daily, Lord. Sister Emily, just having the headaches and whatever symptoms, Lord, may You touch her and continue to bless her, Lord. And You know every heart, every situation, every need. Lord, we just ask for leadership of the Holy Ghost every day, Lord, in everything. So we thank You and praise You in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So Lord, bless you now. You can be seated. And we're continuing right on now in the breach. And so Some of these things he's going to say tonight, he's repeating what he said on Sunday morning. And so, and he's going to go into some of the symbols and things that, which we know, but at the same time, we're going to read it because it's there. And so he's referring to some of these things. And so he's already read the scripture, and he's going to read the scripture again after the fact. But he'll go into talking about, you know, the horns and the eyes and some of the seeing, some of those things. But we're starting in paragraph 222. And we want to follow along what he's saying. Now watch. Then it is he, the Lamb, that takes his kingly position when his saints come to crown him Lord of Lord and King of Kings. Now we know that when this announcement was taking place and they recognized who it was that had came forth to take the book and to break the seals and to redeem everything, they uncrowned themselves right then. They uncrowned themselves. All the elders, everything that was there, John said that they uncrowned themselves. Brother Branham said they uncrowned themselves. That they realized that this, the Lamb, it was the grace of God that had did everything, produced everything, brought everything forth for mankind. And that coming from back there, they had to come out of that thing, of that idea that they were doing something, because there was so much physical labor into the worship, into the sacrifice, into the part that they had to play in that day. And so this was a big a mindset to come out of, that they were having to come out of to get away from that. And now it's coming in now into the grace of God, and it was being introduced to the people, and they still had some ordinances. They still had some different things to follow, but it was going to keep cleaning out and cleaning out and cleaning out until it was going to come down to a perfect realization of this was everything that he had in his mind, everything that he did before the foundation of the world. And there was nothing that we were going to do that was going to make it better, that was going to change it, to add to it, take away. Everything, he already had it fully planned out. He had it fully planned out. And so this change that's taking place, the Lamb coming now as the Lion. He's coming now to take his position as the King. And every time we see a position change, as we did in the Old Testament closing out, there was a change in the ministry. And when there's a change in the ministry, then there's a change in the people. There's a change. They had to make that change. They had to change over. Now, there was still, God still had men that was ministering the Word of God. And that's what they were doing back there. Those priests, they were ministering the Word of God, making the sacrifice, doing all that they were supposed to do. But now, these new ministers that were coming on after Pentecost, now, they were still just there to minister the Word of God to the people. But they had a new message. They had a new revelation. And so they had a new thing. They had a new land. They had a new message, a new everything. It was totally different from what they had. And so now God is changing everything. The position of the people's changed. And so it's something, as I was studying today, I really realized that the change that we had to take in this day, there was a change that took place, not just for the ministry. There was for the ministry, because he talked about that this was now, the announcement was kings and priests. He hath made you kings and priests under this new ministry of the bride ministering the Word of God. And so, but there was a place for her in that. And just as there was there, it was no more the people just sitting there and hearing the priests read the Word of God for hours on end. They would just go there in the morning and they could read them the Word of God to them all day long. And that's how they ministered. And so the only ones who really had the access was those priests. They had the access to the scrolls and to the Word of God. But now the Spirit now is coming upon the people. And now it's bringing down that priesthood. It's bringing it down a notch. It's bringing it down to a place now where the people are coming up in the Spirit and the ministry is coming down, so they're coming closer together. So instead of just the priest being up here and the people being down here, now it's bringing them closer together. And so that's what's happening now. That's what happened now when this change took place. Now it brought it closer together again. It brought it so close together now that it was God and the bride becoming one. Not just back there just receiving the Spirit and having gifts and having powerful ministries and all of those things as it came through. But now it was a real powerful reality, a real revelation coming upon the people that they have a new position in Christ. As they were stepping up. Now it's come to a new position today for the bride and Christ coming together and becoming one. So he's taking his kingly position when his saints come to crown him Lord of Lords and King of Kings. See, time has run out. Revelation 10:6, there's no more time. And now notice there's seven horns on this lamb. Now he's going back to Revelation 5. Now we've been through that. Horn means power to the animal. Horn means power to the animal. And so you can take a small animal and it's got a horn, it makes the difference. It makes all the difference. You can see it when you're out in nature. You can see the difference. You see when they're fighting, it's amazing what an animal can do that you think is a harmless animal, what it can do to a powerful enemy if it can get its horns in it. And so this horns means power. See, and notice he was not an animal. He was not an animal. This lamb that came forth and took the book was not an animal. This was the Lamb of God. This was the Son of God. This was the one who had paid the price. He's coming now to make the claim. It wasn't an animal. No, this was the person. This was the reality of what it all was. He took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. See, oh my, I believe I had that wrote down somewhere. To break the seals, to loose the title deed, the message to the last angel. And he takes his kingly place. That's what he comes forth now to do. See, this last angel on the earth, he takes the book and he comes down, the message going to the last angel. And now he comes to his kingly place. And he's constantly identifying the timing. He's constantly identifying the seventh angel is on the earth. At the same time, the mighty angel comes down. You can't separate it. He identifies that seventh seal is at the same time that these seals are breaking on the book. It's the same time. This angel is here bringing his message and he comes to take his position as the king. That's what he come forth now to do. Now watch, when he comes out, the seven horns, when he saw this lamb, John looking at it, he had looked like it had been slain bloody. And now here he's come from eternity and he ceased to be a mediator. And this just was striking to me, so I used it for the subtitle tonight. He's come from eternity. Where is that? Is that off someplace? Is that a far distance? Is that on the other side of heaven or somewhere just beyond reach? He come from eternity because he's an eternal creature. And he's inviting us into eternity. He's inviting us into his presence, into the presence of God. He's inviting us into that place where he's at. He ceased to be a mediator. Oh, Catholic friend, can't you see that? Don't pray to some dead person. The Lamb is the only mediator, and he was the one that came forth. See? And what did he do now? He's been back there, back here interceding until his blood has atoned for every person. And the Lamb now knows what's written in the book. Well, sure. He paid the price for every one of them. Amen. That's me. If you go pay the price for something, you're going to know what's yours. You're going to know what you paid for. You're going to know what you're going to get in this transaction. And he paid for all of those that was on the book. He paid for all of those that was the thoughts of God, that was in the mind of God before the foundation of the world. And so he knew exactly what was on the book. He knew exactly those who were predestinated to receive it. Those who were predestinated to receive the revelation of who they are. See, now he's been back here interceding and until his blood has atoned for every person, and the Lamb knows what's written in the book. So he knowed from the foundation of the world, their names were in there. So he has stood back here and done the mediatorial work. That's what he had to do until the revelation come, until the seals broke, until the book was revealed, until all the names on the book was made known. He had to stay there as a mediator interceding with his blood for them. So now, until the mediatorial work, till everyone that's been put on the book has been redeemed and is finished. And now he walks out. So it's finished. He said it over and over and over. We were in one part there on Sunday in the seal book. In about one page, he mentions the mediatorial work, intercessory work, like 12 times. And it's just right there all together, just a few paragraphs. About 12 times, he hits it. And he's telling us that when these seals break, it's over. And he's going to come back, and we may not read it, but he's going to come back at the end of this message. And he's going to state emphatically that he's still there tonight. This message. He's still sitting there tonight as a mediator. That's right. And he doesn't change that until he goes into the seals. Because right. What he's telling you here is, this is not the seals. This is not it. This is the breach between. And he's telling you what's going to happen when the seals break. When they begin to break open. He's going to tell you. And the reason I'm saying that is because you go all the way through the seals and all the times he declares, even here, he's declaring what takes place and when it takes place. That it's over. That the seventh church age has to be over. That when the seals are revealed, then this time the seventh seal is being opened. The seventh angel is on the earth. The mediatorial work, the intercessory work, all of that's finished. He makes that clear. All of that happens at the same time. It happens right then. And so people will go back to this one quote at the end of the breach and ignore everything he said all the way through the message. Like maybe 100 times, maybe more, where he's declared when, how, what, all of it. He's nailed it down. And I'll go back and take this one quote and say, see, he said he's still there tonight. He was, according to the prophet. And he also, when he got to the sixth seal, he said he wasn't. And he said, that's exactly what's poured out here tonight. Tonight. He's nailing it down. So you watch him. When he goes to the first seal, he's gonna say the same thing. What's beautiful about this is he knows in this breach, before the seals open, he's giving you the lineup of everything that's going to happen. That's what he did in Sirs Is This the Time. That's what he did in the 70 weeks of Daniel, and that's what he did in the original church ages back in 1960 and 1961. He was giving you the lineup. This is how it's going to work, right in this order. He was given the order of what's going to take place. And so it comes all the way through. He said the same thing, and he brought it through. And so when he got done, people were just as baffled at the end as they were at the beginning. They were at the beginning, and when he's talking about the rapture and these different things, they were holding their traditional idea. The problem was after the seals was opened and he's talking about it, it confused them, because now he's speaking it as it's done. And so it made it hard for the carnal mind to be able to grasp this thing. All right. See, now, paragraph 229, he's done his kinsman work. You know what the kinsman work was: to testify before the elders. You remember Boaz kicking off his shoe and so forth? He's done all this now. All that's done. See? And now he comes to take his bride. Oh, yeah. After he testified before the elders, after he gave the other kinsmen an opportunity to do the work, and he refused, he did the kinsman work, and then what did he do? Then he went and he got his bride. He went and got his bride. He went and claimed his possession. He claimed that earth. He claimed that property. He claimed Naomi, which was a Jew, and he claimed that Gentile bride. He claimed every bit of it. He took possession. He took the possession of it, because that was his work. That was his work. Once the price was paid, once all of that was done, then it was time to claim it. And the claiming is the possession of it. It's taking it. Now he comes to take his bride. He comes as a king. He's looking for his queen. See? And in this book is the whole secret of it, wrapped up around seven seals. Oh, brother, seven seals waiting for him to come. See? Now, somewhere in here, maybe we won't get to it tonight, but he talks about the first thing he does when he takes the book is he comes to take his bride. That's the first thing he does. The first thing he does, he wants his bride. He wants her. And what does he do with her? The first thing he does, what does he do? He marries her. It is a union. It's a spiritual union. That's why I said there's a change. There's a change. When he changed positions from the lamb to the lion to the king, now the king is calling for his queen to come and stand by his side. And so just as he's changed his position, she has changed her position. She now has become the wife. See, it didn't happen back there. It happened in this day. It's happening here. It happens right here on this earth. Just as he said that seventh angel was on the earth when that mighty angel come down, he's told us that marriage takes place right here when we are becoming one with him. So the bride has come into a new ministry. And he said it has to be the same ministry that he had. The same ministry that he had. That oneness, that marriage, when it takes place, it puts her in the position of manifesting the husband everywhere that she goes. She is manifesting her husband. She's there. She's there. She is the Word. Eternal life is in her. She is walking upon the earth, and the Creator, the God of heavens and earth, is walking in her, manifesting himself through his wife. And he's been waiting for this. This has been building up all the way through. This has been building up. This is what he was going to climax the whole thing. Talk about a position. Talk about a responsibility. Talk about the something that we need to be so surrendered to. What God had in his mind for this day and this hour and this people. Praise be to God. Notice, let's get these symbols. See, seven horns was the seven churches. See, seven church ages, because that was the Lamb's protection. And what he protected What he protected his rights with on earth, yeah, was a God-sent group of people that's protected. They're protected, and they're protecting the Word. The Word's protecting them, and they're protecting the Word. The more we read this thing, I was reading in Hebrews 11 a while ago, and that, you know, that's the book that talks about faith and faith and faith. And all, this one had faith and that one had faith. And hey, had the revelation, they had the revelation, they had the revelation. And they come down to the trials and the tribulations and the persecution and everything that they were going through all the way through. And Paul comes down and makes that great statement and he says, of whom the world was not worthy. The world was not worthy of these people. But when he was talking about Abel, he's talking about God expressing his gifts, so much so that his blood spake after his dead. His blood was crying out from the earth. There was something there. There's something about the bride. There's something about the bride that is just, you can't separate. You can't separate him and his wife. You couldn't separate Adam and Eve. You couldn't separate Abraham and Sarah. You couldn't separate them. You can't separate this bride. You can't separate her. And when God was injecting that Gentile bride in there, and he put that Rahab in there, it didn't matter how many Jews, how many Orthodox come against that and said, you can't do this. This is against our law. This is against the Word of God. No, God injected that woman in there. Every one of those women that came, God injected them in there. Oh, and when the prophet came along and said not to mix, that's when the government was trying to mix them all up. That's when the government was trying to mix them all up. That's when Eisenhower and them presidents back there, they were trying to just mix them all up so get rid of the whole racial thing altogether. They thought that would fix it. No, the only thing that's going to fix it, the only thing that's going to bring peace is when you get God.
That's right.
Yeah. And outside of that, there's not going to be peace no matter how pretty you make it, no matter how much you mix it up, no matter how much you do it.
Amen.
Man doing it, it's never going to work.
Right.
When God does it, it'll work every time. It will work every time. Because God is having his way. And when God was mixing up Moses and his brother and sister didn't like it, God made clear to them that God was doing it. God was making it clear. That's why there is so much wisdom in being quiet when we don't understand something. If we're not sure about something, there's so much wisdom in being quiet and waiting. Because you can be sure it's going to come out in the wash. It's going to come out. You just give a little bit of time and it's going to prove whether it's God or it's not God. It will prove it. Every time it'll prove it. Some before and some after. All right. Now, we want to read Zechariah, the third chapter. He keeps mentioning these symbols and he wants to mention them again. So watch this. Something struck me today about this in Zechariah here. Now, we're going to get these symbols here. And if I got my scripture wrote down, I was just shouting all over the place this afternoon when I hit this. See, I just don't know whether I'm right or not. He's talking about whether he's got the right scripture. He knows he's right. He knows the symbols. He knows all of it. See, Zechariah 3, he said, I got wrote down 89 here, but it must be 8 to 9. All right? I know it can't be 89. Zechariah 3, 8 and 9. Hear now, O Joshua, the high priest, thou and thy fellows that sit with thee, for they are men wondered at. And I thought about this. That's why I thought about Hebrews 11. I was thinking about men that were wondered at. I was thinking about David when God said, I took you from the sheepcote. He was a man that was wondered at. I was thinking about our prophet. I was thinking about Malachi 4 and Luke 17. Men wondered at God pulling somebody aside, God putting somebody. God had likened him to Eliezer being the model servant of the Bible. That's where God put that prophet. See? Behold, I will bring forth my servant, the branch, Christ. I'll bring forth my servant, the branch. For behold, the stone that I had laid before Joshua, upon one stone shall be seven eyes. Behold, I will engrave the graving thereon, saith the Lord of hosts, and I will remove the iniquity of that land in one day. Praise be to God. When I seen that iniquity and I seen it being removed, now he doesn't go in and define this and break it all down, but there's one thing that we know, that when these seals broke open and when that seventh seal broke open, what happened to the bride was iniquity moved away. Sin moved away. All sin moved away. She stands justified. She never sinned in the beginning. She never sinned in the first place. And so he said, I will remove the iniquity of that land in one day. I will remove it. Now, watch in Zechariah chapter 4. And I didn't realize this, let's just read it first. Verse 10. For who hath despised the day of small things? God in simplicity. And that's where he started. His Sunday morning message was God in simplicity. And he realized after he finished, he began to talk about it. He said, it never hit me what I was saying when I brought that message, God in simplicity. The whole thing was God in simplicity. Just opening the scripture up day by day, day by day, the simplicity of the scripture just becoming reality to the people. And so, see, God in simplicity, see, for they shall rejoice and see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel. And those seven are the eyes. These are the eyes of the Lord, which run to and fro through the whole earth. See? Seven eyes meaning seeing. Seeing means prophet, seers. This lamb had seven horns, and on each horn had an eye, seven eyes. Now, he's getting the same symbols again, and he's identifying the ages, he's identifying the messengers, all of it. And he says, what is it? Christ and his bride. Seven church ages. Out of there were seven prophets that went forth, seven seers, eyes. So the last one must be a seer. All right. And so when I started reading that, I didn't realize, I forgot that Zechariah 4 was where Brother Gumbel was reading on the two witnesses. So if you continue from verse 10, you go right into the two witnesses. You go right into that. And so how perfectly it's aligned in the scripture. He's taking it here and then he goes right into that. And so he doesn't bring that here because it's not time yet. He's going to bring it, but he takes the first part of it and he places it right here where it belongs. And then he comes back later and he takes the rest of it and he places that where it belongs after this. So, what is it? Christ and his bride. Amen. Paragraph 238. Now notice, he's not an animal. He took the book out of the right hand of him that sat on the throne. Who was it? See, the owner, the original owner that had the book of redemption in his hand. And no angel, no angelic being, see, nothing else could take the place. And this bloody lamb walked out and took the book out of his hand. What was it? Brother, this was the most sublime thing in the scripture. This was the most sublime thing. This was the greatest thing that was ever happening, coming down in this last day, him, the Lamb, coming forth and taking the book to reveal the names that was in the book, to reveal the whole plan of redemption, what God had in his mind. He's making the whole thing known to the people of the last days. This last group of people, the ones that were going to be one in union, in the marriage, in the last days, he's revealing the whole plan to them. And it excites me to think about it, how privileged we are to be a part of this revelation. My daughter was telling me the other day, she said, oh, it would have been better. It would have been a greater day to live in Jesus' day. And I said, no, dear, this is the greatest day. That was a great time. That was wonderful because that was God, the Son of God, come on the earth. But he's here. He's here today. Not in that flesh, but he's here today in his bride. He's here today in the fullness of the revelation, in the fullness of the Spirit. More revelation today, more of the outpouring, more of the power of God in this day than in any day that there ever was. The things that Jesus did was miraculous. It was supernatural. It was wonderful. And it's just a kick in the bucket. Not even a drop to what's been done today.
Right.
You think about it. You think of Elijah and Elisha. One did 4 miracles, one did 8. Is that right? Is that the right numbers? 4 and 8? And then you look at the ministry of Jesus. You look at the ministry of the whole New Testament. You look at the ministry of the whole Bible.
Yes.
Count it up. Count up all the miracles in the whole Bible. And then try to follow up on what was done today. Thousands. Tens of thousands. Of visions. Of healings. Of supernatural.
Amen.
There's so much. There's so much back there. That was taking place all the time. All the time. God. Getting the people ready for these great things.
Amen.
See, a most sublime thing in the scripture, an act that not an angel, not nothing could do it. The Lamb come and took it from the right hand of him that sat on the throne. What is it? Now it belongs to the Lamb. Amen. That's right. God's law required a kinsman redeemer. And the Lamb come out boldly. I'm their kinsman. I'm their redeemer. I now have made intercessions for them. Now I've come to claim their rights for them. He's doing what? He's claiming our rights for us. Something that we had, we lost. Something that Adam had, he lost. And that God promised he's going to bring it back. And now he's claiming that he lost for us. Bringing us back to it. I've come to claim their rights for them. Amen, amen. I've come to claim their rights in that they have a right to everything that lost was lost in the fall. And I've paid the price. Oh, brother, who? Don't that make you feel religious? Not by good works, which we have done, but by his mercy. Oh, wait a minute. And them elders and everything else begin to throw off crowns. What do? They begin to throw off their crowns. They begin to recognize he did it all. Nobody deserved a crown but him. Nobody. Dignitaries begin to get on the ground, see everything. Oh, my. Brother Adam said, the way up is down. Well, when we can get down there, he can lift us up. When we get rid of a crown, then he can crown you. When he can do it, when he does it, it's right. And when we do it, it's not. No one could do it. He walks right up to the right hand of God and took the book out of his hand and claimed his rights. I have died for them. I am their kinsman redeemer. I'm the mediator. My blood was shed. I've become a man. I did this in order to get the church back again. The one I foresaw before the foundation of the world. Praise God. I have purposed it. I spoke that it would be there and nobody was able to take it. But I went down and done it myself. I'm the kinsman. I become kinsfolk. And he takes the book. He come down himself 2,000 years ago to do that work. Nobody else could do that work. He had to do it. It couldn't be a man born by sex, but it had to be a man. And so he come down, and he went to Calvary, and he paid the price, and then he left it in the hands of the church. He went to the right hand of God and made intercessions for all of that ignorance that we had, all of that lack of revelation that we had. But then there was going to come a time, and he was going to deliver that. He was going to take the book, and he was going to reveal it all to his wife. And he couldn't send a man. He couldn't send another man. He couldn't send. He had to come down himself. He had to be him himself. It could be the flesh of any man, but it had to be he himself to take the book, because there was no man worthy to look upon it. There was no man worthy to take the book. There was no man worthy to break the seals. It had to be him. Paragraph 244. Now he has the title deed of redemption. He has it in his hand. Mediation is done now. Now, he's saying all of this over and over as it's done. It's done. It's done. And he's going to make one claim at the end. He's going to make one statement at the end and say he's still sitting there tonight. But he could come forth at any time and take the book. And he's telling us all the time he's taken the book. He's already raised up. He's come for the book. He's got it in his hand. He's got it in his hand. If you want to split hairs and say it was this night or it was that night, or you do whatever you want. But when people are 60 years later and they're still trying to place it, they're still wondering when it's going to happen, they're still got it out in the future, they missed it.
That's right.
They literally missed it. Now watch. The title deed of redemption of all creation is in his hand. And he's come to claim it back for the human race. Oh, excuse me. Not claim it back for angels. Sorry. He's come to claim it back for the human race. Not claim it back to angels. Claim it back to the human, which it was given for, to make sons and daughters of God again. Huh? To bring them back to that perfect realization of who they are.
Amen.
Not to say that those weren't sons of God all the way through there.
Right.
Not to say that there's just sons of God today.
Amen.
I know that there's doctrines out there like that. But that's not what he's saying. What he's saying is that realization that they lost has come back in its fullness now. Not just a piece, not just a partial, not a little bit as it was building and more revelation and building and building and building. But now the fullness of that revelation has come on the bride.
Yes, sir.
On your wedding day, you're not wondering anymore if this is going to be my wife. You know now, this is my wife. And she knows now. She's not wondering anymore, well, is he going to take me, or he's going to get somebody else? He's going to do something. No, you know now, this is my husband. This is my husband. This is my wife. It's now, it's in stone. And today, it's in stone. It's in stone when that oneness takes place. See, claim it back, bring them back to the Garden of Eden. Everything that they lost, the whole creation, the trees, the animal life, everything else, all my, don't that make you feel good? Whew, yes. I thought I was tired. I'm not now, see. Sometimes I think I'm getting too old to preach, and then I go to seeing something like that, and I think, I'm a young man. See, it does something to you. See, for I know this, there's someone there waiting for me. There's someone that paid the price I couldn't pay. That's right. He paid it for me, Charlie. He did it for you. He did it for the whole human race. And now he comes forth to claim his redemptive rights. Claim it for who? Not for himself, for us. He's claiming it for us. See? He's one of us. He's our kinfolk. Oh my, he's my brother. He's my Savior. He's my God. He's my kinsman redeemer. He's all for what I was without him, or what could I be without him. Think. He could have kept expounding on that, because he is my brother and he is my sister and he is our God and he is the only eternal life. And everywhere that eternal life is, it's him in that brother. It's him in that sister. It's him in that ministry. It's him in everything that is manifesting him. So you see, he's my all. He's standing there as our kinfolks. And now he's been interceding for us up till this time. And now he comes forth and takes the book of redemption to claim his rights of what he did for us. Oh. What's he doing? He's claiming his rights. He's claiming his rights. That's what this is all about. Claiming is taking possession. And taking possession, when you do that, then that which you've taken possession of is now in your complete control. You completely control every aspect of it. You decide what happens to it. You decide the good, the bad, the ugly. You decide everything that this possession now of what it's going to happen in its life, what's going to be manifested, what it's going to go through, every bit of it now, you're in his hands. And every bit of it, you're yielded to that. No matter what it is, you're yielded to it. You give 100% to him, and now whatever he wants, however he wants to manifest himself through you, you're yielded to that. You're surrendered to that. Paragraph 247. Now, they die, Jesus said, he that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And no matter if he falls asleep in the first watch, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, wherever he falls asleep, what will happen? The trump of God shall sound. Now, it's good that he's dropping this in here, in the breach, talking about redemption being finished. He can't go through there without dropping this in here, because he's going to come around and he's going to identify that this last trumpet is the seventh trumpet. He's going to identify that as we go along. And he's going to identify that that trumpet is the trump of the Lord, that that is the trumpet that sounds as he's descending. And that trumpet is the trumpet of the rapture. And so You as you follow into it, as the message go on, then it pulls you into a spiritual realm, because you can't stay back there. You can't read the statements that he's saying and stay back there in that carnal idea that we had. God won't let you. You'll either you weren't predestinated to it and you'll go that way, or you will slowly come out of that kind of idea, and you will come into a spiritual understanding of it. He can't keep saying these things, and you keep putting it off some other way, in the old carnal way that all the denominations teach it. You just can't do it. Watch. The trump of God shall sound. That last trumpet will blast forth at the same time that the last angel's given his message. And the last seal is opened. He's in the breach. He's in the breach. He lined these other things all up at the very beginning of the message. First thing he did was line them all up. And now he's coming back and adding to it with the rapture. And putting again the seventh seal, the last seal. Putting in the last trumpet. And making sure that once again he establishes that that seventh angel is on the earth giving his message while these things are going on. That last trumpet will sound, and the Redeemer comes forth to take his redeemed possessions, his church, blood washed. That's right. I want to read that first part again. The trump of God shall sound. Which trumpet? That last trumpet will blast forth the same time that the last angel giving his message. And the last seal is opened. That last trumpet will sound. The Redeemer comes forth to take his redeemed possessions. That's what he says. He's saying it over and over and over. He said it many different ways. He takes the book. He breaks the seals. He possesses. He claims his bride. Amen. Paragraph 249. Oh, that whole creation lays in his hands now, on which the whole plan of redemption is sealed by seven mysterious seals in this book that he took. A book that he got, it was mysteriously sealed with seven seals. Now watch, he alone can reveal it to whomsoever he will. Who is he revealing it to? His wife? The ones whose names is in the book? All of them that's in the book, that's who he's coming to reveal to. He's coming directly to them, personally to them, and he's got the book, and he's revealing, you're in there. He goes to another, he says, you're in there. Goes to another, he says, you're in there. You're in there. He goes to each one, and he personally reveals himself to them. And he lets them know that they're in the book, that they were in him before the foundation of the world. He alone can reveal it to whomsoever he will. He's got it in his hand. See, now he promised it would be at that time, for it's sealed by seven seals of mystery, the book of redemption. That's right. But now in this sevenfold book of seals of redemption that the Lamb took within himself, was the only one could do it. He took it from the right hand of him that sat on the throne. And now to claim his redemptive, to claim his rights, to claim for me, to claim for you what he redeemed us from, back to everything that Adam lost in the Garden of Eden. He has redeemed us back to that. Now, he's been telling us he's redeeming us back to sons and daughters of God. He's redeemed us back to eternal life in the flesh. He started out in this message telling us, after he's established the timings and what was to happen, then he went and he took a space and he spent on Adam and he identified what Adam lost. He said, we know, like this is common knowledge. This is common knowledge. What Adam lost was eternal life in the flesh. In flesh. He lost eternal life in flesh. Flesh and complete supreme control over all the earth. He was God over all the earth. God had put him in control of all of it. And he said that when Adam forfeited this, he forfeited the book of life. And the book of life went back to the original owner. That's quite an astounding statement. At paragraph 252, now, the Lamb, with the book in his hand, were ready to ask his grace and mercy upon us to open this, the seven seal book to us. And let us look past the curtain of time just a little bit. Oh my. Now, when he took the book, the title deed sealed. Now, get that in your mind now. Get it in your mind. He broke the seals of the mystery to reveal them. To bring them, to his, all of his redeemed subjects. That's who he's revealing it to. That's who he's breaking these seals to. Now, when we hit this in the seals, we're going to go back there and see them souls under the altar. Now, he's mentioned them a couple of times now. He keeps mentioning them. And he keeps, actually he's pointing to everything that's coming. And these souls under the altar, they have their place. Because these souls under the altar, they come in under this mediatorial work. See? Now here he is as a mediator on the altar. Just a little longer, see? Just a little longer. There's more has to suffer like you. See? But now he comes from here at this last seal. He's no more. He was mediator there, but now he's coming at this last seal. He's no more mediator. He's king. Now he's now taking that last seal and not just putting it close to the other seals, to the mysteries of the book. Now he's taking this and lining it right up that with that mediatorial work being over. That, let's read it. Now he comes from here at this last seal. He's no more a mediator. He's king now. He's tying that to the seventh seal. And what does he do? If he's a king, he has to have subjects. And his subjects is them that he has redeemed. See? And they cannot come before him until he takes the rights of redemption. That's right. And he walks forth as a mediator where death put us in the grave. And he comes forth with his rights. And even those who are alive and remain till his coming shall not hinder them that are asleep. For the trump of God shall sound at that last trumpet. And when the last seal is broke, and when the seventh angel's given his message, the last trumpet shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise. And we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them to meet him in the air. He's come forth now to claim his possession. I'll say it again. If there was some confusion in 1960, or in the 60s, about exactly the timing of this place, there shouldn't be because he's identifying it. But there's no excuse now. We're talking 60 years later. There's no excuse now to try to place this anywhere else. Not the seventh seal, not the book of redemption, not the breaking of the seals, not the ending of the mediatorial and intercessory work. None of those things now can you say have not been concluded. Because he has over and over and over again identified all of this happening while the ministry of the seventh angel is finishing up.
That's right.
You just can't. There's no excuse.
Amen.
That's another thing says over in Hebrews 11. We have such a cloud of witness.
Amen.
You think they had a cloud of witness? We got all of that plus. All plus that again.
Amen.
What a cloud of witness that we have. And it's the very cloud of witness that we have that people are going away from because Satan has deluded them and deceived them to think that that was not a supernatural cloud. Even science called it a supernatural cloud. Even the scientists called it a supernatural cloud. Even the journalist that was writing the article in the magazine called it a mysterious cloud.
Yes.
Praise God. God will make them testify.
Yes.
Watch. Look at this. Broke the seals, revealed the mysteries, revealed them where? To the last church age. The only one that's living. The rest of them is sleeping. Yeah. It's in the last one. It's in the last one. And then all of those have to wake up. All of those have to wake up. See, if he comes in the first watch or the second, third watch, on down to the seventh, in the seventh watch there went out a command or a call. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. And when they did, the sleeping virgins, the nominal churches said, oh, you know, I believe I'd like to have that Holy Ghost. Have you noticed the Presbyterians and the Episcopalians? Did you hear my message in Phoenix to them, men who stood up there the voice in there saying, well, what's the matter with this author saying, Holy Father so-and-so? When the Bible said, call no man father, they were arguing, saying, what's wrong with that? What's wrong with that? The prophet is telling you what's wrong with it. It's against the word of God. It's against the word of God. So when the Bible said, call no man father, see, they're sleeping with them. That's the reason. But when they come forth and said, yeah, we believe. Yeah, we want the Holy Ghost. A woman just called up another woman and said, you know, I'm Episcopalian and I spoke with tongues the other day. I believe I received the Holy Ghost. But shh, don't tell nobody. Brother Branham said, I doubt that very much. You might have spoke with tongues. You might, but you set a man on fire and how's he going to be still? Yes, sir, they can't do it. And that's exactly what I'm saying about the message today. I'm not saying who is and who isn't. I'm not saying who's coming now that wouldn't come 20 years ago. That's all in the hands of God. But when somebody 20 years ago was fighting it tooth and toenail, every way, wanted nothing to do with it, and now they're just given little crumbs or little morsels, I'm not saying who is and who isn't. I'm just saying it's really strange. It's really strange. But God is the one. And I hope every one of them come. I hope they all come back. I hope they come back because they left. They left the revelation. And you hear testimonies that, well, they're starting to preach it now. They're starting to say, maybe. I hope so. But I'll tell you what, it's a big thing. It's a lot of grace. When you fight something, when you fight a revelation that God has given fresh off the throne, and then come back 20 years later and you get another chance. That's grace.
Yes, absolutely.
And I'm not saying it ain't there. It is. It is. But it ain't going to be the multitude. It won't be the multitude. God will get every one of his. He'll get some of them early and he'll get some of them late. But you see, that sleeping virgin ain't receiving nothing anyhow. That's right. You remember, while they went to buy oil, you remember the scriptures doesn't say they got it. But while they were out trying to buy it, there came a sound. And what happened? All those virgins that slept rose and trimmed their lamps and went into the supper. Is that right? And the rest was left for the tribulation period, weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. That's right. That's the church, not the bride, the church. The bride went in. There's a whole difference between the church and the bride. That's right. Yes, sir. Went into the wedding supper. Amen. And I'm going to say again, I'm not saying who is and who isn't. I hope they all come. I hope. I pray for them. The seals was broke. Why? In the last church age to reveal these truths. See? Why? The Lamb broke the seals and revealed them to his church in order to collect his subjects for his kingdom. His bride, see, oh my, he wants to bring his subjects to him now. He wants to take possession now. He wants that oneness now. They're no longer a church. The church has been divided. That's been separate. He's not in there. He's put out of the church. Now it's a bride. It's the real bride. It's the genuine bride. It's the bride without spot or wrinkle that he had in his mind before the foundation of the world. What is it? Out of the dust of the earth. out of the bottoms of the sea, out of the pits, out of everywhere, every place, out of the regions of the dark, out of the paradise, wherever they may be, he will call and they will answer. Amen. He will call and they will answer. Praise be to God. He come to get his subjects. He revealed his secrets and they saw it. See? And time is no more at that time. Time is no more. See, time has run out. It's finished. Why? He's left the intercessory work. He has claimed his bride. He's took possession. He's become one with her. It's done. It's finished. It's over. And we thank God. We thank God. And I know that when these things begin to break, when the revelation of the mediatorial work and the intercessory work begin to break open, the seals was breaking open, the seventh seal was breaking open, the third pool was being revealed, all of those things as they were coming forth, I understand why people were afraid. If you said it was finished, if you said there was no more, that the last one had to receive it before he could take the book. The last one had to be redeemed before he could take the book. Well, that was no different than 2,000 years ago. The last one had to be redeemed by the blood of bulls and goats before they could come into this new revelation.
That's right.
And so did it have to be again. That all that were to come in under the mediatorial work, it had to be finished. That mediatorial work had to claim them by the blood, every single one of them. They were coming in under that. And when that was finished, then there was a new land. There was a new ministry. There was a new everything. Christ himself was now calling. Christ was calling to the bride. It wasn't no longer as a church through the church ages. The church ages was finished. Now it was Christ himself in the fullness of the revelation for the bride of this last day. He come to manifest that. And when he did that, there was a people on the earth that were able to hear him, that were able to see him, that were able to believe him, and that were able to give up everything that had been said and done up to that time and begin to walk in this revelation. Not my revelation, this revelation. This revelation. There's one. And that God incarnated himself in that veil of flesh. And God took complete possession of that veil of flesh and began to reveal himself. It was not a man. I mean, you were looking at a man, but there was a God that was in there that was in full control. So much so that that man didn't know what he was saying much of the time. Much of the time he had to go back and listen. You can imagine what that was like. There was times that it actually sounded like, this is just me, there's times it actually sounded like that the Holy Spirit was saying things to him that he hadn't yet revealed to him. And he would still say it that way back there. And now God is saying something different. And people even questioned him and said, Brother Branham, you said such and such. And he's saying, no, I don't think I said that. I said, you probably misunderstood. And go back, and it's exactly what he said. It's exactly what he said. And so he was trying to hold on to that, not knowing that God was speaking it before he'd even made it known to him. And you say, no, that's not possible. It is possible, because that's exactly what happened with the seven trumpets. When he was going to preach those trumpets, God said, you've already preached it supernaturally. It's done. You already revealed that thing. Can you imagine what he felt like? He had to have butterflies all the time. He had to have goosebumps all the time. He just had to be in, he didn't know. Just like he said here, he said, I don't know what I wrote down. He said, I was so excited. I was shouting and screaming in the room. This thing was so amazing, so sublime, so powerful. God revealing it. And that's why he's saying it as it's already done.
Amen.
And then he comes back and puts a disclaimer there and says, now, we know he's still sitting there tonight. Just keep going.
That's right.
Just keep going.
Yes.
Just keep saying amen.
Amen.
If that seed's in there, you'll believe every word. But I know you can't believe it until he reveals it.
Amen.
And that's where we rest it right there. You don't come in my time. I don't come in your time.
Amen.
We come in God's time.
That's right.
And when God's ready, God will make it known.
Amen.
And it'll be clear.
Yep.
And that's what he said. He said, it'll be clear.
Amen.
So we'll ask you to stand together with us. We appreciate you so much. And we thank God. We thank God for the great things that he's done. And I'm going to ask Brother Goomba again to come and dismiss us tonight in a word of prayer. And we want to remember Brother Michael also tomorrow. He had quite an eventful day today. And so Satan's tried to rock the boat. We were talking about the good things last night, that the how the Lord's used him there and give him influence. And then Satan really tried to show his colors. So we know God's on the scene. So we'll pray. We want to remember him and each one for that.
So God bless you. Mm-hmm. It's good to see Sister Rebecca and Cameron here. So God bless you. God is in control. Everything is in God's hands and everything is going to be all right. And we trust that he's not left us. We went to see Sister Coretta today and we talked a bit. We had a very short time there. And I thank Sister Rhonda for taking me there. Sometimes, I don't know, things here are different. You can just go to see someone like that, and Sister Rhonda helped me on that. I want to go. I feel like I don't know how it will be taken and like that, but we went there, and I thank Sister Rhonda for taking me there. One time I remember there was my daughter was sick in the hospital, and I don't know where those pictures went. They're very interesting, because she was, Linda was in the hospital, she had an operation, and we went there, and that whole room was like a church. I don't know whether my wife can remember that. That whole room was like a church. There was how did people know? I mean, they're all over here. And it was full. And men had a very, very great time. But sometimes here, it's not the same. I was telling them over a testimony. I'll never forget Brother Keenan. Brother Keenan was seated in when I was in the hospital. You know, people didn't know that I was dying. I was dying. at some point, I didn't even know myself at all. And I remember I would wake up like that, and I would still see Brother Keenan sitting there. He came there and seated for hours. And I come back home, and then I saw my wife made in my room. And I saw a room where I slept in the bed. But there was a couch there. And that looked like Brother Keenan's couch. He came and sat there. 4 hours, and I was telling them, that cannot go away in my mind. That cannot go away. I was telling Sister Rhonda how when she came, that cannot go away. The words she doesn't even remember. I told her even those words that you talked to me, they were there with Sister Edith. That is great. A time like this is when people need to be together. This is when people need to encourage one another. This is when people need to come together and tell the just those words, brother, don't worry. Jesus Christ is still with you. He's in charge. He's taking care of things. Those words are very important. I was telling my wife, and I was quoting her a bit. I was telling her, you mean you don't know these things? Because I was asking her, do you know a scripture that says that there are people who be given eternal life just because, that was in the church, just because you went to see a sick person? And I was giving her, you mean you don't know? And I give her that story. Okay, I said, it's a story in the Bible. It doesn't seem to be very, people don't look at it very much, but that's, it's there. People will get eternal life just because they went to see some And I told her about that. I'm not preaching, but just give me one minute. I was making a drama there in the vehicle and telling her, you see, they walk to God, and God, you know, in God, this is not in the law. The judgment will be not like a court of law. I didn't do it, God. Do you see me? Do you have a witness? There will be nothing like that. You see, when you get there, everything will be there, and you know where you belong. So you'll be walking to the lake of fire. And when they were walking to the lake of fire, God called them, come back, come back. Why? We belong there. And they said, no, we belong there. We see our lives. And he said, no. I was sick, and you came to see me. I was hungry, and you fed me. I was this, and you helped me. He said, when did we do that? We didn't even see you. We remember when we didn't have nothing like that. And they said, when you did the least little ones, you did it unto me.
Praise God.
See, that's a great scripture to me. That's a very great scripture. That's a scripture that touches me. You don't need a brother. You don't need a sister when everything is good, good, good. You don't feel like you need them. But brother, when somebody is going through, those words are very, very, very important. Don't worry. Jesus Christ is still there. The power of God. And you know, when those things come like that, you're not even able to pray. You yourself, you're not able even to pray for yourself. You're so much overwhelmed. In fact, do you know that the prophet said, you're not supposed to fast so much. Because when you fast so much, even the energy of the body goes away, even to pray and to be before God diminishes. Those words are there. So when you're beaten up like this by things, brother, you need other brothers and sisters praying for you.
Amen.
You need brothers and sisters studying for you. Yes. When you study with a brother, you're studying with Christ himself.
Amen.
Amen.
Do you remember Paul when he was going to Damascus and he said, "Who? Why thou persecutest me?" He said, "Who?" He had never persecuted Christ. I didn't even know you. But because he was persecuting the children of God, he was persecuting Jesus Christ. So when you're studying with a sister, when you're studying with a brother, you're studying with him. That's very well. Father, we are very thankful when it happens the way it does. I was really blessed, Lord. It doesn't look like it's anything. But when Don describes it like when the prophet was here on earth, it is not a prophet. The man born by Era Branham in Branham. That is why the angel in version 22 could not allow, which was Brother Branham, could not allow John to worship him. He was a man. So much that, Lord, sometimes you spoke and it went against his better judgment. That is what he said. He didn't know what he was saying. He said, because you took his mouth. Just last night you gave me a quote that said, he just told me to say it. That's why I've just said it. In other words, he just said it because you said it. And that was what we had this age. We had you talking to us, not a man. You talking to us, the bright Lord. It's so great, Lord. And Father, we really, when you open these things like that, we enjoy it, Lord. This is a great revelation, Lord. The purpose of it is for us to get closer to you, for us to get one with you, for us to get what you are, because what the husband is, they are one, and we are one indeed, Lord. We want us to have that power, that ability, Lord, and that's what we deserve, Father. We stand here, Father, with our needs, and our needs, Lord, are not greater than you. You are greater than them. You can take care of that, them, Lord. There's a quote, Father, that said, was a man that was trying to say that he cannot pray to God so much because he's disturbing God so much. And the prophet said, that's like a small, bitty fish in the Pacific Ocean, trying to say that he sparingly drinks that water just in case it gets finished. That's how much masses and grace thou have, Lord God. We cannot finish it, Lord. We can ask whatsoever, Lord, that's why you put that word there, whatsoever. You can ask whatsoever, because you have it all, Lord. You can provide, Father. You can take care of everything, Lord. You can take care of Rebecca, Lord God, the mother. You can take care of that mother. We know that, Lord. That's why when we commit it to you, we mean it. When we commit Sister Poretta, Father, on your heart, we mean it, Lord. We know you can do it. You can take care of that. You're not short-handed, Lord. Father, as we come now, I understand. I don't understand the whole thing about Michael and what he's going through. Whatever it is, Lord, we praise him on your heart now, Lord. We pray that you take charge because you are God, Lord. And any other need, Lord, God that is in our midst, you are that mighty angel that comes down with all the powers, Lord God. The purpose to take us back to what we lost, to what Adam and Eve lost. And that's what you've given back to us. What we have it now. We pray, Father, that each member here, each listener, everybody that's listening in, may they get this, that you're in charge. That whatsoever, Father, we desire, thou shalt give it, because, Father, you promised it. Let's come to you, Father, with that kind of thing. Each one, Lord, we lay ourselves before you, above everything, Lord. Give us that ability, Lord, that no man can give, that a man can surrender so much that we become prisoners unto you, Lord. Prisoners unto the revelation of this word, Lord, that you become completely one with it. Father, you can do it, Father, because you promised to do it for us. We commit ourselves to you. Heal the sick. Provide the needs of the people now. We place everything on your laps now. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, we pray.